Let's give them a big round of applause. You guys, we love you. Eric and Destiny and Adelina. I was watching her watch herself on the screen. That was really cute. She's like, who's that? Do you love Jesus today? Come on, everybody, right? Isn't God good? Okay. Well, we're gonna start a new series today, which I'm excited about. On the church news, they said 3 weeks. We have three videos, probably one interview, and then actually I might extend it another week or so because there's a certain amount of this portion of scripture that I want to get through. So I need to make sure I get through this all the way. But we're going to be doing a series called Stories from the Vine. We're going to be speaking from John chapter 15. We're going to talk about Jesus and the vine and being connected to the vine. And I think that as I start today, if I can just be as transparent and authentic today as possible with you and, you know, and just kind of preach it the way I feel it and hear it from the Lord. Is that okay? I don't know how people make it without Jesus. I don't know how people do it. I don't. I mean, I completely understand that there are people who don't know Christ who go through hard things. Totally get it. But I think that along that journey, I am convinced, because I've known quite a few who have been through things, somewhere along the journey, they consider their relationship with God. They consider, like, who is God and what's God's role in my life? They try to answer questions like why do bad things happen to good people, right? And so many people will stay away from church because they're like, I don't understand why bad things happen to good people. And so along that journey, I understand that not everybody has faith and they go through hard things and they can get through it. But can I just tell you, there is a fruit that comes from being attached to the vine and knowing Jesus, that when you go through hard things, it's Jesus who carries the heavy load. And there's something that happens when you and I feel like we have to carry the heavy load of everything that happens in our life. Did you know that there's a God who loves you and he wants to help you carry certain things? And then there are certain things that he wants to carry for you. Are you with me? Come on, he loves you. I don't know how people make it without Jesus. And so really, this series, Stories from the Vine, is some stories about how God like connects to us and how we connect with Jesus. And we need Jesus. We need him flowing. We need him loving us. We need to make sure that when we're weak, we understand there's a strength that we need that comes from Christ. There's something in our relationship with Jesus that when we're connected to the vine, things begin to make sense. You begin to see the world differently. You see your own struggle differently. You see your family differently. When Christ is flowing into you through the vine, when you're connected, you begin to see things the way that God sees them. And did you know that one of the biggest struggles that we have in our life is that we don't see things the way that God always sees it? Are you with me? We see it a certain way, but God sees it another way. When we think that we're in the midst of defeat, God says, no, this is gonna be your greatest victory. When we feel like we're so tired that we can't go on, God gives us the energy to take one more step, and then he does it again the next day. And day after day, step by step, we have a tendency just to get to where it is that God wants us to go. But it's not because of our own strength, it's because of his strength. Can I hear an amen? Okay, we're gonna talk about Stories from the Vine. It's gonna be good, it's gonna be a great series. We're gonna be preaching from John chapter 15, okay? So what I wanna do is, I really feel that this series, that God has something special for us in our house. I think that God wants to speak to the Pearl Church. I think that God wants to do something in us. I think he wants to bring us together. I think this series is gonna do something in our community. Everyone say, this is. All right, you're gonna do some repeating today. Everyone say, this is. My house, my family, my people. So I think God's gonna do something significant in the house. I think he's gonna bring us together, but I also think he wants to give us a new faith. He wants to bring to us a faith for people and their lives that does not come from our own thoughts or intellect. You know, that you will never be able to love people the way that Jesus loves people. And the only way to really understand the cross is to try to connect to how God loves you. And if you understand how God loves you, you will begin to love people differently at a deeper level with new eyes and new understanding. So Stories from the Vine. Okay, so now to do this, I want you to do me a favor this morning because I feel this is so significant for our season. I'm gonna read you this portion of scripture from John 15, but I'm gonna have you stand. So everybody stand together and let's jump into this. And I think a special season, special verses, special move of God. Come on, all of you. How many of you are ready for a move of God in this next season? Okay. It's good to see you. Where's all the young people at? You guys got one love tonight. Okay. All right. Where's all the not young people in the house? Okay. Where's all the people who don't feel as young as they used to? Come on, somebody. Okay. How many of you have to take ibuprofen just from sleeping? Come on, are you with me? Who's with me? Okay, that's good. That's me. Okay. I'm going to read this to you, but what I want to happen is I want you to really listen to it. I'm not in the NIV this morning. This is the NASB. The NIV reads a little differently. They're both, if you care about those things, they're both good. They emphasize a couple of different things, but the NASB this morning, here we go. I am the true vine. Everyone say true. Okay, he is the true vine, as opposed to, especially today in our culture, how many of you know that the scriptures address every culture in every time? They're not for the first century or the third century, they're for every century and every generation. And every generation has to make a determine, just like you and I do, on what is the true vine. And I loved what Malia said this morning in both services. She said, if I was to look at your maps, I'd know where you drive. If I was to look at your bank account, I'd know where you spend your money. If I was to look at your Instagram, I would see what you value, what's in your reel, what your algorithm is. I can see what's important to you. And every generation has to make a determination that Jesus is going to be the true vine. What is our true vine? What is your true source? What is it that consumes your heart, consumes your thoughts, consumes your life? Where do you go on a bad day? Who do you celebrate with on a good day? Who is it that's going to take you from the day you're born to the day that you go to heaven? We get like 75 to 100 years on this earth, and every day is important to Jesus. Not some of the days, not a few of the days, not half the days. Every day is important to Jesus, and every day he loves you as much as he could ever love you, and every day he has a purpose for your life. So the question is, who's the true vine, right? So it says this, I am the, and Jesus says the what? The true vine. My Father is the vine dresser, and every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. If you don't like being pruned, say amen. Okay, verse 3, you are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you, you're clean. Verse 4, remain in me. Say remain. All right, so this is kind of the, I would love to say this year that our church, if we went anywhere, like we found a place of remaining, yes. A place of lingering, yes. In the presence of Jesus. If some of you have never lingered in his presence because you've never been taught on the presence of God, I want you to know that Jesus, God, like Jesus is a real person. The Holy Spirit is here right now. And church and God and your relationship with him doesn't leave when you leave the building and get in your car. I would love to see us remain in his presence. I'd love to see us linger in his presence. I'd love to see it overflow out of the parking lot into your car on the way home. All right, so we remain. We remain in me, he says, and I in you. How beautiful is that? Just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but must remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Like, we all want fruit, and when the fruit doesn't happen, our tendency in our humanity is to blame somebody or something else for the lack of fruit. But really, the lack of fruit is there because we're not remaining in him. We tend to be like distracted with what in the moment seems to be true. But if we stay in him, we're always going to bear fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. Everyone say much fruit. Have you ever considered the fact that God doesn't want you to just have a little bit of fruit, but he wants you to have a lot of fruit? He wants you to have a lot of fruit from the day you're born to the day you die. You're gonna be bearing fruit your whole life. Good fruit, loving people, helping people, praying for people, giving them a hug when they need a hug, giving them a prophetic word when they need an unction, a moment from the Holy Spirit. God wants us to bear much fruit, not a little bit of fruit, okay? So, but if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and dries up. Is there anybody here today who's ever had a dry season? If you've ever been in a dry season, wave at me, okay? Come on, you know what it's like to be dry. You're empty, you're thirsty, you don't know what's going on. You're not sure what's happening in your life. Is anybody having a dry season right now? Wave at me, come on. God wants to speak to you today. Come on, wave your hand. I saw some lifters. I want you to wave your hand. If you're in a dry season, let's have some waves. Ladies and gentlemen, can you please clap your hands, because these people are gonna be blessed and strengthened. God wants you to not be in a dry season. All right, and they gather them up, they throw them into the fire, and they're burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask what you want and it will be done for you. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this. My Father is glorified by this. It's amazing. God is glorified when we want to be with him. He is glorified when we want to just be with Jesus. We want to be in him. We want him to be in us. It brings him glory. He's glorified in this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I remain in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. These are the verses that we're gonna do for about the next 6 weeks. We're gonna go verse by verse, and we're gonna hear some stories from the vine, and we're all gonna get connected to Jesus in a brand new way. If you believe that, say amen. All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every single person in the sound of my voice, whether they're here or online, it doesn't matter. I pray to you, Father, I'm asking you to come to us in a very special way. I pray, Lord, that we would come in, have a relationship with you. We'd be connected to the vine. That when we need strength, you're there. I need knowledge. I need your help. I need wisdom. You're there. I don't know where to go. You're gonna direct us. I feel alone. You're gonna be with me. If I'm lonely, you're there. If I'm struggling, you're there. If I'm weak, you're my strength. Father, we wanna be connected to the vine. We don't wanna be disconnected. We wanna be in you. We wanna do everything through you. And we wanna know what life is like when we are connected, because we all know how life feels when we're disconnected. And so I wanna be in you. Father, I pray, Lord, that in our church, in this season, that you would allow us to have deep relationship with you, that we would have deep times of worship and prayer with you, that we would become a people who are so connected to the vine that it impacts us in our mission, in our life, in our love, in our care for people. I'm asking you, Lord, that is your house, your church, this belongs to you, this is yours, that you would fill this place with your presence, that we would be overwhelmed by the presence of Jesus in our lives. And that we would be so grateful for all that you've done, that we would be at sometimes even speechless at your goodness and your care for us. And I thank you, Father, for all of the work that you're gonna do this year. And so, Father, we do pray right now for that work. We pray for Denver, Colorado. We pray that you bless our city. Church, pray with me, come on. Bless this city. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every pastor, every church, every worship song, every worship leader, every person. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless this city. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless our state. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just begin to connect with houses and churches and people. Lord, that there would be a new connection with the vine, that we would be grafted into something beautiful and life-giving. And I pray that that life would start from the very top authority of our state and flow into every neighborhood in Colorado. I pray for the vine to be connected, and I pray for the grace of God to flow. I pray, Lord, that your work would be awesome, that your grace would be deep, that your forgiveness would be absolutely solid and without question, that I pray, Lord, that there would be people everywhere that would find purpose and meaning to their lives. And I'm asking you, Lord, to bless this house, bless this corner, bless these people, Jesus, and let us glorify you in all that we do this year in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people shouted a big amen. Come on and put your hands together for Jesus. Come on, church, put your hands together for Jesus. Thank you. Now turn to your neighbor and say, you need to hear this today. And then turn to your other neighbor and say, I think you need to hear it more. All right? Okay. So we're going to be talking about the vine from John chapter 15. The vine is an incredible story. It's a parable that Jesus tells when he's trying to describe something. Now, inside of this portion of scripture, as we will talk about in the days here, by the way, how many of you love to read the Bible? How many of you love to study the Bible? Is it okay if we study the Bible today together? Is that okay? This portion of scripture really is a snapshot from Jesus himself. So remember that when Jesus is talking, God is talking. So you have to remember that Jesus is God. That in the Trinitarian truth, when Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser, remember there's some special relationship there. But when you look at this portion of scripture, as it is from Genesis all the way to Revelation, there is something that God wants to do in you, and by doing it in you, it happens outside of you. And people always want to build churches, and I love building churches, obviously. We have a bunch of pastors headed here in a few weeks, and you'll all get to meet them. And by the way, on Thursday night, I think it's May 1st, on Thursday night, May 1st, we're going to do, May 2nd, thank you. On May 2nd, we're going to do a special service with all the pastors that are here from all over the world. We're going to invite the whole church. We're going to have a church revival night with John Bevere. John Bevere is going to come, and he's going to preach, and he's going to blow the roof off of this. He's going to blow these bricks up. Come on, somebody. John Bevere's coming with a word for not just the pastors, but for our own house. You'll hear more about that. But there's always something God wants to do in you, and then God wants it, as it's happening in you, he wants it to spill out. And we have to be very careful that we don't get content that when we don't see fruit in our life, we don't recognize that fruit. And I'll talk about what fruit is, that we don't recognize it, and so we don't go after it. And this is why the vineyard and the vine and the tending of it is so important, because when there's not fruit happening in our humanity, we have a tendency to go, oh, it's not happening. But instead, what God wants us to do is begin to go back and deal with Jesus and talk about it with him, let him begin to work in our lives, and something happens in us, and then it spills out. So I want you to remember that as we go through the series, that in John 15, he's talking about you, and he's talking about the work that he wants to do through you. And when you're connected to the vine, the work is going to happen. The work will happen. But when the fruit isn't there, we need to ask ourselves, what needs to change? Where am I going? What am I doing with this? Okay, so the verses that I've read to you this morning, the whole series, but I'm going to focus this morning on verses 1 and 2. And basically, this is the point. The parable that we're looking at illustrates the life-giving, intimate relationship between Jesus and his followers. How many of you are a follower of Jesus? Okay, so if you're a Christian, as you say, I'm a Christian. I didn't ask you to say it. I kind of did. I mumbled, didn't I? Go ahead and say it. I'm a Christian. Okay. If you have a relationship with God, one of the things that is so important is that we live in a way that others see the fruit of our Christianity. But the fruit isn't the most important thing. The vine is the most important thing, because the vine comes before the fruit. And some people want the fruit without the vine, and those people are the ones that the world looks about. And in Luke and in Matthew, the Bible talks about people who try to build things in the kingdom, and they don't have what it takes to finish it. And so the people who looking in the world, they look at the church and they begin to laugh. Can I just tell you that I want to live my life in such a way that I never give anyone the ability or a reason to look at what God is doing in the kingdom? Come on, that's how we're supposed to live. So, but people, they begin to, I want the fruit, I want the fruit. They get addicted to the fruit, and they're not attached to the vine. And if they were attached to the vine, sometimes the fruit that they're giving, if it's not the fruit that God wants them to have, they would actually stop going after that fruit, and they would ask God, what's the fruit that you want me to have? When Christians start loving the fruit more than the vine, that's when they get prideful. That's when pastors mess up in the ministry. That's when churches, so many brilliant, wonderful, large churches in the last 5 years have closed down because leaders love the fruit more than they love the vine. Can I tell you that I love Jesus more than I love anything else? I love Jesus more than my job. I love Jesus more than my office. I love Jesus more than this platform, which cost a lot of money. Come on, somebody. Like, I love Jesus more than any of it, and I would lose it all just to keep Jesus. I think the whole world and everything I've ever been through, like Paul, is garbage compared to the unsurpassing knowledge of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the vine, and he wants a certain kind of fruit. But I think in the world today that we have become addicted to a kind of fruit that maybe doesn't represent exactly what Jesus would like us to have. And I think that sometimes we think that we can genetically alter the fruit that God wants us to have. You know, we love to alter genetically all kinds of things in Colorado. Cattle, wheat, fruit. And we, because it sells really well if you alter it genetically. Down in California, I don't know if you know this. This is just kind of ridiculous trivia that Pastor Doug knows because I watch the Animal Planet. But did you know that, and maybe you do, like some fish, they can be frozen in a lake, completely frozen in ice, and they can stay that way for months at a time, and then when the ice thaws, the fish will just swim away like nothing happened, right? The reason they can do that is because there's an enzyme that they contain that allows their body to not freeze. And so they can actually be frozen in ice. A goldfish can do this, by the way. And you can freeze it in ice and it'll swim away, right? So they've actually taken the enzyme from fish and they've put it into vegetables in Northern California because they were losing vegetables at higher elevation. And so now they're growing vegetables 365 days a year, even when there's frost, and the vegetables survive because they have a goldfish enzyme in them. Yeah. Every time you go to King Supers and you grab those half-ripe strawberries from that one company that we all know, I want you to know you're eating a goldfish. But in the kingdom of God, you cannot genetically alter what God says so that you can sell it. People are trying to alter the fruit because they're addicted to the fruit and not the vine. If you're addicted to the fruit, you won't make it. If you're addicted to the fruit, when your marriage goes through hell, you won't make it. If you're addicted to the fruit, your finances will get all crazy and you'll be addicted to your finances and not the vine, and you'll never do anything great for the kingdom. If you're addicted to the fruit, church is just entertainment for you. And that's why people don't go to church anymore, right? I kind of went off in the first service. I'm praying that the Lord will help me in the second. And some of you double dippers and really enjoyed it. And you're like, do it again. I'm like, nah, because I don't know. I'm just saying that there's something that changes when you're addicted to the vine, because the vine is Jesus. Now, what you read is, he says, I am the true vine. In verse 1, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. He's the vineyard keeper. So you have Jesus, who's the vine, and you have God, who's the vine keeper. In the Old Testament, Israel was the vine. There was no Jesus yet. He existed in heaven, but he hadn't made his journey to earth. It was just Israel and God. The Bible says in the Old Testament that Israel was the vine. God took Israel, planted them on the earth to be a witness, and they had a mission. Part of it they succeeded in, part of it they failed. But that was their job. And along the way, in the New Testament, God said, I've seen enough, and we're gonna wrap this thing up, and no one can be good enough. No one's gonna make it according to the law. Everybody's failing the law. And so instead of just killing everybody because they messed up in the law, we're just gonna kill one sacrifice, and we're gonna take Jesus. So he inserts Jesus between God and between humanity, and then Israel is no longer the vine. Jesus says, I am now the vine. And you need to be connected with me. So between God and humanity, Jesus shows up, and Israel is no longer the vine. Now Jesus is the vine. And he says, now you got to go through me. And why this is important is because Jesus became the one-time sacrifice for all of our sins. And what that means is that now we're all equal. Israel is awesome, but so are you and I. Doesn't matter what color your skin is or what language you speak. It doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if you're happy or grumpy or angry today. Doesn't matter if you're full or hungry. Come on, somebody. Jesus loves you the same. Doesn't matter how long you've served Christ. It doesn't really matter. God doesn't love my wife more because she got saved at 4 years old and I got saved at 21. She doesn't have more in God's love bank than I do, right? So the reason why this is important is because when Jesus inserts himself as the vine, he brings us all together and he says, no one has seen the glory of God, not even one of you. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. All of you people. So it's really important that we understand that there's nobody here that's better than anybody else. So all of a sudden, we're the same. And then we wake up one day and we realize that if we're all the same, we have to draw our strength and our energy from the same person. So we learn to go to Christ. Now, this is important because I think that one of the things the church needs to do in this next generation, when I say that, that means I'm meditating on it. Whenever you hear me say, like, I think the church, the big C, capital C church, I'm really talking about myself and how I want to lead. I think the next generation needs to understand something about the vine, that we are called to be a part of the vine and it glorifies God. And when we go to God, we realize that he is the one that we're supposed to go to. And then all of a sudden he begins to pour out his love on us. He pours out all of his, like the Holy Spirit on us, and we have strength. We become addicted to something that's in the vine that you can't get anywhere else. God wants us to be going to him and not anything else. Because when we do, everything looks differently. Like everything looks different. If you're not connected to the vine, you won't understand why Jesus did a lot of what he did. If you're not connected to the vine, you won't understand the church. So a lot of people, a lot of Christians, I'm not gonna say people, I'm gonna say Christians, because this is about Christians right now. That this ultimately is about all of us, but Christians right now. And the reason why people don't understand Christians is because Christians get off track, they disconnect from the vine and we look like a bunch of hypocrites. But you know, people who don't know God will respect you if you stand on what you believe and you do what you're supposed to do and like you love God, they would respect that more even if they don't agree with you than if the church walks in a hypocritical state. And so the church then, we begin to view things differently. Well, what did God say about church? God said that the body is the church. You gotta get together. You gotta go to church. Like now, by the way, none of my message today is anything about the do's and don'ts. I'm just telling you, you see it differently when God's flowing. When God's flowing, you see it differently because all of a sudden it's not enough for you to just hang out with your church family once every 6 weeks. You know what I mean? Like that's not enough. You gotta be with your family. You gotta hang out. You gotta let somebody rub you the wrong way and have to work it out with Jesus on the way home. You gotta walk in, you gotta be a part, you gotta serve, you know what I mean? You gotta hug people. Some of you aren't huggers, you're not even handshakers, you're not even 10 feet in proximity people, right? Some of you just need the Holy Spirit to touch you, get out there and start hugging on people. Why? Because there's people walking in here that need what we have. They need the vine, no, they need the vine, they need the love of Christ, right? You see it differently, you see your giving differently. You have a generation that's not giving, things are shifting in the finances of the church, but all of a sudden you realize that you wake up one day and you go, I don't know about giving, I don't know about tithing, I don't know about offerings, I don't know. It's like there's nothing I can do. I could preach 20 weeks in a row on giving and the giving wouldn't move unless you connect yourself to the vine. Because if you connect yourself to the vine, you wake up one day and you realize that I am an owner of nothing and a steward of everything. That everything that you have comes from the vine. Your peace, your hope, your love, your care, your family, your job, everything is about the vine. And I'm gonna be here for so many years and then as a part of the vine, I gotta glorify God. And one day I'm gonna go not just be a part of the vine, I'm gonna go be with the vine. And then Corinthians says, one day you will know fully, even as I know you fully right now, right? So we have to make sure that we understand that it's important because we get everything. We get our love from the vine, our strength from the vine. And when you disconnect, you can't bear fruit, not the fruit that he wants, but I think it's important that we remember that when you're connected, really truly connected to the vine, it's really hard to not bear fruit. If you're really connected to the vine, you're going to bear fruit. Like you're gonna wake up and you're gonna be like, I'm gonna bear fruit because God's gonna talk to you, God's gonna speak to you. When you're connected to the vine, you're relating to God in a different way. So in other words, now some people here, you're in process, and I get that, we all are. But like, when you are connected to the vine, one day you will wake up and feel this internal Holy Spirit. I'll call it a conviction, okay, we'll call it a conviction, but you're gonna feel compelled in your spirit and in your thoughts to acknowledge God. And it's interesting in scripture, there is a couple of times where people acknowledge God in scripture and they look up. I've had people tell me, I was in my car and I felt the Holy Spirit and I knew I needed God and I looked up. There's something in us that when we acknowledge God, we in our natural body, we tend to just kind of look up and our eyes go up. We say, Lord, I need you. We have to get into that place where we're relating to God as if he is connected to us. We are in him. There's an old song, you're gonna remember it. It's old now, right? Old now. This is the air I breathe, right? This is the air I breathe. What's the next word? Help me. Wow, you guys need some help. What is it? Your holy presence, is that what it is? Living in me. Can I just say this? If God is the air that we breathe, you're never disconnected. And so when you go, oh, I'm a part of the vine, you realize like let's talk about prayer. Let's say prayer. Prayer. Like I have a hard time with prayer. And I've told people this a lot, and the reason is because I'm ADD, true ADD, not like maybe ADD, not be like on the spectrum, flat out ADD. In the 80s, I was one of the kids, not an exaggeration, I was one of the kids that they experimented on with Ritalin. I was like the first kid. They're like, we have an experimental drug we'd like to try on your son. My mom's like, all right. Well, that just made things worse. Truly ADD. Like I can't pray like some people do. Like I can't just like, it's time to pray for an hour. No, to me, that sounds like the rest of my life. You know, for me to pray, like I have to have an atmosphere. My atmosphere's gotta be right. I need to have coffee. I need to smell it, right? It needs to get going, because when I smell coffee in the morning, I know that that's like prayer time, study time. And then I need like words, I need like music with no words, right? You know what I mean? Some of you know what I mean. I need it with no words, because if I hear words, I start to sing it, right? So I need like music with no words. And I even have a couple of channels that my family knows now and a couple of my staff where I just sounds of nothing. It's like wind. I just need to hear wind when I'm praying. Right? Or the ocean. Or even just like a drone note. I have this one channel on Apple. It's literally a drone. And it just goes. And if you were to walk in to see me studying and praying for even a Sunday morning, you hear this like for 4 hours. It's just the note. It's just G. It's just G. And can I tell you a miracle that happened this morning? Can I tell you about a miracle? I said that in the first service. I said, when I study, there's like a drone. And I said, G, right? And when Kaylee came up, it was actually the G note. Miracles do happen, you guys. I sang a G. In my family, that's like winning an Olympic gold medal. You need to understand that. So we play games in my family, guess the note. If we hear anything, if we hear a glass, you know, make a sound, or if there's if the car has a certain, they'll go, what's that note? Anyways, it's a whole other thing, and it drives me crazy, but now I win. Because God did it. It wasn't on my strength, it was on his family. Okay, so, because I can't do it, I have to have nothing, right? But there's something that happens when I know I'm in my atmosphere. Now, you may not have an atmosphere, you're like, I don't even have that. Listen to me, prayer does not mean you're like Jesus. Hey, can you not tarry 1 hour? Can I tell you where prayer starts? If he really is the air that you breathe, if God really is present with you always, all you have to do is acknowledge him. Now, I'm talking to a few people this morning. My homework for you, what I would ask you to do is tomorrow when you go to work and you're like, well, I wish I could pray, but I just don't have the time. And all you do is you get in your car and you say, Jesus, I acknowledge that you are the air that I breathe. Yes. That's it. That's your prayer. I acknowledge that you are the air that I breathe. And if you want to speak to me today, just do it. And some of you are like, well, that's not even prayer. How do you know that's not prayer? Did you know that some of the best prayers don't even have words? Some of the best prayers just have a tear or a sound, a guttural sound or silence. You just say, Jesus, I acknowledge that you are the air that I breathe. And if you want to talk to me today, and all of a sudden the vine, you start to understand what it means to be a part of the vine because he wants to be with you. And when he is, everything begins to change. You can't help but bear fruit. Someone, the Lord's gonna say, pray for that person, or did you notice this? Or what about your family? He's gonna lay things on your heart and you're a part of the vine. You're gonna start wanting to serve because you see what God is doing in the lives of people. And I guess I would say it like this, that some people, they let it happen, like they feel it, but they don't do anything about it. If you tend nothing, you can expect nothing as well. So if you feel it, let me put it like this. Sometimes being planted is not enough. Well, there's lots of books about being planted in church. And you're always talking about being planted. You gotta get planted. Yeah, I need to get planted. But I think that for the next generation, there's a couple of things that I'm working through. I'll give you an example. When we talk about being planted in the church, did you know that doing church is automatic if you're connected to the vine? Because the Holy Spirit drives you to be with God's people. This is for you today. By the way, church is for you. It's for God's family. First and foremost, it's for the family of God when you're connected. But I think that we need to go from using planting language to being connected to the vine language. See, the next generation has a problem with church. They don't want to go to church. They have a problem with Christians. Too many Netflix documentaries, right? The next generation is looking at this, but can I tell you that this building is not Jesus? And what we do here is not Jesus. Jesus is doing something, but if you wanna understand church, you have to understand the vine. And I think for the next generation, if you're a young person here, it's more important for me that you have a connection with Jesus than anything else, because Jesus will guide you, Jesus will help you. And by the way, Jesus will never contradict himself. You say, well, if I know Jesus, he's never gonna tell me to go to church because the church is hypocritical. No, Jesus is gonna say, plant a church. Jesus, no, he's gonna say, no, why don't you plant a church and do it right if you think you got it all figured out, yeah. Right? He's gonna say, Jesus isn't gonna make me, you know, deal with those people. No, he's gonna make you wash their feet. And just the thought of that makes you wanna run. So there's something about being connected to the vine. I think we need to talk about the vine almost more than being planted, because nowhere in scripture does the Bible even talk about church and planting together. It's something metaphorically that we put into it. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Psalms that you will be planted by what? Streams of living water. And when you're old, your leaves will still be green and your branches will bear fruit. It doesn't say when you are old, if you plant yourself on the corner of University and Alameda, and in the future, you will still be green and bear fruit. No, if we think that way, we're thinking independently, and then we don't have God's thoughts. We don't have God's motives. We don't have God's theology. We don't have his doctrine. We need to be connected to the vine. Yes. And then we'll be connected to the church. Because yes. God doesn't contradict himself. All right, so then what about the fruit? Okay, there's three kinds of fruit. I'm gonna go quick. There's three kinds of fruit that we're gonna go through in different ways in the next few weeks. Okay, when you talk about fruit, there's three basic kinds. There's internal, external, and eternal fruit. So when we're talking about the vine, Jesus is talking about an internal fruit. Everyone say, in me. Okay. And external fruit, say, through me. And then there's eternal fruit from God. Say, from God. Okay. So really, we're talking about what happens in you and then what happens through you. And then there's some fruit that is just beyond you. You can't do it. There's nothing that you can do. I am convinced that when I became a Christian, yes, people were praying for me. Many people were praying for me. Okay, I get it. But it's God who does the work. There's some fruit that you can't do. You get to participate. The Bible says some people plant, some people water, some people harvest. But you know that it's Jesus It's Jesus who brings people into the kingdom. First of all, internal fruit. I call this the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The reason why it says there is no law, because in the New Testament, when you have God's love, it supersedes the law. It fulfills the law. People who come in and say that church is about rules and law, our job is not to debate the law with them. Our job is to show them the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we could overwhelm them with the love of Jesus, the law actually changes. And you realize that Jesus is bringing the law. He was the fulfillment of the law. He is perfect law. There's nothing legal in him. And all we have to do to know him is just have a relationship and ask for forgiveness and move in. But there's internal fruit. Everyone say in me. Okay, then there's external fruit. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So first it's in us, and then it moves out inside out. Then it moves out into our purpose and our destiny, the local church and all the things that we do. And then there is an internal fruit, eternal fruit. Eternal fruit is the part that God does. And I love this little verse in Romans chapter 1, verse 13, where he talks about, this is Paul talking about what he loves. He says this, I want you to know, dear brothers, that I planned to come many times, but I was prevented so that I could work among you and see good results. The Greek word there is fruit, to see good fruit. Just as I have in all the other churches, Paul wanted to be around to see people's lives get transformed. He wanted to see their lives changed. And I think what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna stop here, I'm gonna pause here and just say this about verse 2. As you move in from verse 1 to verse 2, it talks about fruit that has to be, and branches that have to be pruned. Did you know that some things that look good aren't always the best? And can I tell you that we want God's best, not just his good? Now, God's good. I'm not saying he's not good. But did you know that you have to prune? Like, nobody likes to be pruned. That I did a message on this. But like, how many of you just love it when God prunes you? Right? It's like, Lord, just bring the holy scissors of heaven and chop my life apart. And this is how we think of pruning, but that's not what pruning is. Pruning is what you do to something that's bearing fruit, but maybe it's not bearing all the fruit that it needs to bear. You see, if you have an apple tree, when I grew up in our front yard as a kid, we had an apple tree. That apple tree would have like 1,000 apples on it. And you've all seen the apple trees with the little tiny green apples, right? And there's like 1,000 of them on a branch. Well, you know what? Those apples are small because all the nutrients from the vine are going to all the different branches. And so we have all this different fruit in life, but every once in a while, God goes, I'm gonna prune you, not because you're not bearing fruit, but because I want you to bear a specific fruit. Not little fruit, but big fruit, lots of it, and it's gonna be good. So sometimes he wants the nutrients to go to a certain place. When God prunes you in life, it's not because he's mad at you, it's because he's trying to direct you. Flow with me now, because I'm almost done. How many of you ever had a friendship in your life that you knew wasn't a good friendship for where you wanted to go? People. I've had people in my life that weren't for me getting to where God wanted me to go. And God had to prune those relationships. Were they bad? No, they weren't bad. They were actually nice folks, and I'm still friends with them today. But where do I put my time? Where do I give my heart? What do I invest in? For me to be standing here today, it means that I had to go through about 5 different sets of friendships in my life because those friends didn't recognize that I was connected to the vine. They wanted to separate me from the vine and in doing so, steal my destiny. Can I tell you that there will be decisions just like in your budget, just like in your relationships, just like in anything else, some things that seem good, God wants to prune them out. God wants you to be strong and he has specific fruit for you. So when we talk about the vine and the branches, talking about being connected to Jesus. Now, how many of you just want to be connected to Jesus with all your hearts today? Come on. Do you love him? Do you love him today? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet because I want to pray for you. And we're going to ask God to do something very special in all of our hearts. Okay, how are we doing? Okay. How are we doing? I don't know why I went over here a lot today. I love this side today. All right, how many of you love Jesus? Come on. Okay. I just need you to hear me. I've never been up here. This is the first, I've never been up here. I just want you to hear me. Okay, Jesus wants you to be connected to him. And when you're connected to Jesus, his life flow that will run contrary to things in your life that need to be cut off or pruned out is automatic. But the result will be that if you're truly connected to the vine, you're gonna have a hard time not bearing fruit. Don't be satisfied with not bearing fruit. Don't be satisfied with being green and having leaves, right? That's me going to church. That's check the box. Are you in a church? I'm in a church. I got leaves. I'm green. But are you bearing fruit? Because the difference between bearing fruit is cutting things away and being pruned. Because God's goal is not to be green. It's to bear fruit. So if you're really connected and you're really letting God do what he wants to do, he wants to connect with you. He wants to love you. He wants you to be a part of the vine. Some of you here today, God wants to relate to you in such a deep way. Like he's been speaking to you and talking to you, and he wants you to know that you have the air of God in your lungs. You have God living inside of you, and he wants to do something new and fresh in you. Let's not walk away from this. Bow your heads with me as I pray for you. This morning, very specifically, this morning, heads bowed. If you need to renew your relationship with Jesus, or you have never walked with Jesus, you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you've never walked with him and said, I'm gonna connect to the vine, I'm gonna count to three, and when I do, I want you to lift your hand, because this is the connection point right here. I remember when I did this, October 31st, 1989, I remember the moment that I did this. But if you need to walk with Jesus and connect with Jesus, heads bowed, eyes closed, when I count to three, lift your hand. I'm trying to make it as easy as possible. I'm trying to take away all of the distractions for you, because I know what's happening in your heart. And now we're gonna do something on the outside, right? Internal than external. When I count to three, if that's you, lift your hands. One, two, three, lift your hand if that's you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you bless these people. I thank you, Father, for the goodness and the grace of God in their life. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing something special. I pray the lifeblood of Jesus. I pray the life flow of Jesus to begin to flow into your thoughts. Help you do battles, because some of you battle with your thoughts. Come on, stay with me here just for a second. Some of you are having thought battles. You're struggling in your mind. It might be negativity. It might be doubt. It might be faith. It might be some kind of a sin, but there's thoughts. The Lord wants to come in, flow through the Holy Spirit, through the vine, through Jesus, and he wants to help you and heal you of your thoughts. He wants to battle with you in your thoughts. The Lord wants to come and he wants to heal some families and marriages and parents that are desperate for their children. Father, I pray that the lifeblood flow of the vine would begin to flow into every one of us here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd move powerfully in the days that are ahead, that you would move us, that you would convict us, that you would get us excited and celebratory because of what you're doing. Lord, we love you today. And Father, I pray for these that lifted their hands. Now, church, pray this with me. Say, Jesus. Say, Jesus. Okay, hold on just a minute. Listen to me. Listen to me. How many of you know? How many of you love Jesus with all your heart? Come on, so talk to me. I'm almost done. You love him? But how many of you know? how many of you know without him, you'd be a hot mess? Let's keep it real, okay? Like, let's keep it real. You know you need him. Your life would be a mess without him. And some of you, your life is already a mess. I believe that God is doing a special work inside of you today. I believe he's working in your heart. He's working in your mind. Now pray this with me. When I pray, I want you to receive this prayer, okay? I'm praying for the new Christians, whatever, but I want you to receive this prayer. All right, church, here we go. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, this is our surrender prayer. This is the position of surrender. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you the glory. Father, forgive me of all my sin, all my mistakes, and all my messes. And today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. You are the air I breathe. You are the life I live. I am connected to the vine and Jesus today. I love you with everything in me. In Jesus' name, come put your hands together for Jesus and let's sing a song.